437 here on Downtown, live at Seasons, Main Street in Bangor. Guests of the show heard on the G&M Family Market phone line. G&M Family Market, corner of Route 1A and Route 46 in Holden, open 6 a.m. to 9 p.m. 7 days a week. Up next, we talk some Red Sox as we're joined on that G&M Family Market phone line by our friend Mark Normandin from Over the Monster. Mark, how are you this afternoon?
Doing well. How are you?
Ready to play some real live countable baseball if the Sox have any healthy guys left by the start of the regular season. What's going on down there?
Oh, you know, they had a pretty good stretch of luck for the beginning of spring training because really everyone is excited that spring training starts. It means baseball's closer to being back. But it's the time of year that's, you know, breaking your heart because people get hurt. So at least none of the injuries have been really major. You know, Carson Smith might turn out to be something bigger, but he's really just the one guy. Eduardo Rodriguez mostly is delayed, and Pablo Sandoval's back doesn't sound like it's a serious thing. Although it could be serious for his job security.
Mm. So with a little over a week to go in spring training, what are the lingering questions for this team before they head north?
Well, David Murphy's opt-out is this weekend, and there's no room on the roster for him. So unless the Red Sox make a trade of some kind, they're probably going to lose him, especially since he's more than hinted that he's ready to retire if he gets a minor league assignment and can't get a job anywhere else. So that's really kind of a big one, but it's not that big. It's more their outfield depth. The huge question is, you know, who's going to play third base? You know, John Farrell has very openly said that the job is open for competition, and Pablo Sandoval's been kind of playing in a way where he's losing his job. At the same time, Travis Shaw is playing in a way that where he's winning it.
Kind of piggyback. Sorry, buddy.
So, you know, this back injury that Sandoval has and missing a couple of days, you know, that might just be the thing that seals the deal for him. If they don't feel like Sandoval is ready, then, you know, Shaw's been hitting up the storm, and he hit last year, and they really liked the way that he adjusted to Major League life.
Kind of piggybacking onto that David Murphy thing, what are the rumors going around about the Cleveland Indians, the chatter, and they're interested in a Red Sox outfielder? It seems to me that Rusney or JBJ would be the obvious movers, and perhaps Cleveland could send back some pitching, but are the Red Sox willing to move on from either of those guys yet?
I would think that if they were going to move anyone, it would be Castillo. I kind of doubt that they would want to move Jackie Bradley. You know, they weren't in a rush to move him even when he wasn't hitting just because of the ceiling that's there with that glove that he has. Dave Dombrowski's a guy who, before he was with the Red Sox, was trying to acquire JBJ, so they're probably going to want to hold on to him. But Castillo, you know, he hasn't really worked out. They do have the option, and, you know, there's still a lot of time for him to work out, and he's still young, still talented, and all that, so it's not any kind of giving up on him thing. But they have David Murphy and Chris Young right now. That's a platoon you could work in left field for a year. And, you know, you see in 2017, maybe Andrew Benintendi at that point is just a few months from being in the majors. You know, you find some kind of stopgap. So Castillo's a guy you could move because maybe he's not in a long-term plans anyway, even if he does turn into a good player. But other than that, it's kind of hard to see that they would do anything. And I don't think the Sox would get anything back for Castillo that they could use right now.
Mark, a couple of the young guys had such excellent seasons last year and showed great progress. Obviously, Xander Bogaerts, Mookie Betts at the top of that list. But sometimes that the path of young players is not always in a straight upward line. Do you see either one of those guys maybe at least stalling out a little bit this season and not making the next big leap forward?
I think they've already both had their moment where they stalled out. 2014 was not a kind one to Bogaerts, either defensively or offensively. And he's made steps to, you know, completely change his approach, and he's a much better defender than he was after an offseason of working on it. So with Bogaerts, you know, you could see him either being the same, which is a pretty good player, or taking that step forward to become a great one. It's hard to remember last year that Mookie Betts struggled for a bit because he wasn't bad when he was struggling, but he put on such a surge over the last, like, 3 or 4 months of the season that it kind of erased, you know, a much slower start where he was adjusting, and the league, you know, the league had adjusted back to him after his productive end of the year in 2014. So, you know, he's kind of already gone through that. You know, they're both kind of past that, like, sophomore slump phase of their careers. And, you know, they're both smart and both know how to adjust, and I don't think the Sox should have to worry about either of them.
Mark, when we look at the pitching on this team right now, after David Price, Is there anybody in that rotation that you're, I would say, reasonably confident in?
Oh, yeah. Clay Buchholz is great. You know, he's really a great pitcher. The problem is, how many innings of greatness are you going to get from him? The good thing about that is, if Buchholz only gets them 100 innings or 120 innings, because of injury, they have plenty of depth to step in behind him. You know, they've got Steven Wright, who's probably going to start the year in the rotation. They've got Henry Owens. They've got Brian Johnson, if it comes to that. So, you know, between Buchholz and whatever they get to replace him, should he go down, they should get a pretty good pitcher out of that. Rick Porcello's kind of had a rough spring, but most of his problems last year came from this weird emphasis the Sox had, having him not throw his sinker, which is, you know, the thing that made him good that they traded for to get out of him in the first place. So now that that's all kind of stopped and he had a better second half, he should really be the mid-rotation guy they thought they were getting. I'm still not convinced Joe Kelly's much more than a back-end starter, but this spring he's kind of dialed back the velocity a little so he has better command. So if there's something that's going to make him stick in a rotation and maybe be a little more than a fifth starter, it's doing that sort of thing. And Eduardo Rodriguez, once he comes back, you know, that's a guy with top of the rotation potential. I'm not saying he's going to be an ace or anything, but, you know, he's the guy who could be a number two type, you know, this year, next year, just at some point in his career.
Mark, I've heard it for years as a Red Sox fan. I mean, I can remember when they acquired Otis Nixon and they talked about they were going to start stealing bases, but John Farrell said that they're going to start going about things differently as an organization on the field. And with all the athleticism, do you think that maybe more than one person could top 20 stolen bases for this Red Sox team?
Maybe. I mean, you know, they've got a lot of guys who, even if they're fast, are not great base stealers. Or you've got guys who, like Dustin Pedroia is obviously not speedy, but he's a smart base stealer, so he gets them. And I think that's kind of the problem is you don't know if people are very good at stealing bases, even if they have the athleticism or the speed. They're also, you know, the lineup is so full of people who can get on base and drive the ball. You don't want to be giving up outs necessarily. So it might, even if there's a little more emphasis, you know, 20 might be a little high, but you might see more like first to third kind of running in that kind of aggressiveness like the 2013 team used.
Mark Normand and Over the Monster with us here on Downtown. Mark, before we let you go, you get to see the Sea Dogs a lot. Who are a couple guys that will be on that Portland roster this year that may be on the fast track to Fenway?
Well, if Sam Travis returns to AA, that's one guy people are going to want to pay attention to, although he might start at AAA because he finished the season at AA last year. Most of the players you want to see at AA might be there a little later in the season. Yoan Moncada, if either starts the year there or will be up, you know, shortly, he's the best prospect in the system. That's a guy who could be in Boston by 2017. And like Mookie Betts before him, you don't know what position he's going to play yet, but he'll probably figure it out at Portland. And Andrew Benintendi, if he handles high A as well as he handled short season ball in low A after being drafted last summer, he'll be in Double A before too long as well.
All right. Looking forward to some baseball here in Maine and Boston very soon. Mark, great talking with you as always. Thanks for visiting with us, and we look forward to chatting with you throughout the season.
Of course, anytime.
That's Mark Normand, OverTheMonster.com here on Downtown.